Welcome to the Messianic Message. I'm Kimberly Rogers Brown.
Father God, we come to you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, your Son, our Savior, our God. We worship you this day. We come to you and we ask you by your Spirit to lead us into all truth. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
Today is the seventh day of unleavened bread, and this is also to be a holy convocation. It just coincidentally this year happens on Shabbat. So here we are all doing our holy convocation for the Shabbat and for the seventh day of unleavened bread. In the triannual four portions that we follow, it gives the special Passover readings there for April 3rd, but that's all. And those are, this list comes from a Messianic Jewish group that follows Jewish traditions, and we don't follow Jewish traditions. But we are having this, and it should, I believe it suffices that we are going to continue the Torah portion that we, as we started from last week in Deuteronomy 1, and we're going to do part of what will be next week's Torah portion. This week, we're going to start at Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 1, and go all the way down to 37. And then next week, we will go to Deuteronomy 3, verses 1 to 22. So everybody knows how to do five verses at a time. We're just going to start going around the room. Cheryl, you're the first person.
Okay. It's entitled The Wilderness Years. The wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. If Yehovah spoke to me, and we came out Seir many days, and Yehovah spoke to me, saying, we have gone around this mountain long enough. Turn north and command the people, saying, you are to pass through the border of your brothers, the sons of Esau, who dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Therefore, be careful. Do not meddle with them, for I will not give you of their land. No, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau for a possession. He's worth it. Yeah.
You shall buy food from them for silver, so that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them for silver, so that you may drink, for Yahweh or your God has blessed you in all the works of your hand, and knows you're walking through this great wilderness. Yahweh your God has been with you these 40 years. You have left nothing. And when we left our brothers, the sons of Esau, who lived in Seir, through the way of the Arabah from Elath and from Ezion Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And Yahweh said to me, don't besiege Moab, nor fight with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land for possession, because I have given to the sons of Lot for possession. The Emim lived there in times past, a great people who were many and tall like the Anakim.
And they were known as giants, but the Moabites called them Emim. The Horim also lived in Seir in times past, but the sons of Esau took their place when they had destroyed them from before them and lived in their place, as Israel did the land of his possession, which Yahuwah gave to them. Now rise up and cross over the brook Zered. We went over the brook Zered. And the days in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we had come over the brook were 38 years until the end of all the generation. The men of war were destroyed from the midst of the camp, as Yahuwah swore them. And the hand of Yahuwah was against them to destroy them from among the camp until they were consumed.
And it happened when all the men of war had finished dying from among the people, Yahweh spoke to me, saying, today you are passing over the border of Moab, even Ar. And when you come near across from the sons of Ammon, do not trouble them, nor be stirred up against them, for I will not give you any possessions from the land of the sons of Ammon, because I have given it to Lot for a possession. It also was known to be a land of giants. Giants lived there in past time, and the Ammonites called them Zamazumun.
A great and plentiful people, and tall like the sons of Anak, but Jehovah destroyed them before them, and they expelled them and lived in their place, as he did to the sons of Esau who lived in Seir, when he destroyed the Haran from before them, and they expelled them and lived in their place even to this day. And the Avim, who lived in villages as far as Allah, the Kaphthorites, who came forth out of Kaphthor, destroyed them and lived in their place. Rise up, set out and cross over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into you, into your hand, Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess and fight with him in battle. Today, I will begin to put your dread and your fear upon the nations under the whole heavens, who shall hear report of you, and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. Then we have Elisha.
Okay. And I sent messengers out to the wilderness of Kedemah of Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, let me pass through your land. I will go along the highway. I will neither turn to the right nor to the left. And you shall sell me food for silver so I may eat, and give me water for silver so that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet, as the sons of Esau who live in Seir and the Moabites who live in Ar did to me, until I shall cross over Jordan into the land which Jehovah our God gives us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let me pass by him, for Jehovah your God hardened his spirit and made his heart stubborn, so that he might deliver him into your hands as it is this day.
Gary?
And Jehovah said to me, behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before you. Begin to possess it so that you may inherit his land. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. And Jehovah our God delivered him before us, and we struck him and his sons and all his people. And we took all his cities at the time and completely destroyed the men and the women and the little ones of every city. We left none to remain. Only we plundered the cattle for ourselves, and we took the spoils of the cities. For Arnon, by the brink of the river Ammon, in the city by the river, even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. Jehovah our God delivered all of us. Only to the land of the sons of Ammon you did not come, to any place of the river Jabbok, nor to the cities in the mountains, nor to whatever Jehovah our God denied us.
Okay, that's it.
Thank you for saying everything I ever studied. You did it better than me.
Any comments? Any questions? Did I answer all the questions in my teaching, and that now we don't have any questions?
It's the answer.
It's the answer.
I don't know the smell anymore. I don't know the ears.
Yeah. Sure, go ahead.
I think we're all just a little speechless. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
So we're here in Aqaba waiting basically for that next step now.
Yes.
We're as close as you can be to that next step at this point.
Geographically.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Quit bragging.
Okay. I can testify to the fact that what I have read, what I've heard in the past from others as well, what I've really seen in scripture, what Kimberly has just taught us through what she sees in scripture, is truth. I had a lady email me saying that she just doesn't understand Edom. Well, I am going to get with her by Skype to try to explain it to her. But to me, it's just so easy to see it, what you have shown us here. And if we just read and ask the Father, he'll show us and give us truth. I really believe all of this is correct.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So the can of mind, I lost it. We're here in the wilderness, and no matter where we are around the world, we're in the same position. Are we going to do what our fathers did and the example God has given us, a land flowing with milk and honey? And the point I was going to make about the people who settled on the east side of the Jordan, they were the first ones picked off because they basically were separated by the river Jordan. And I don't know to this day if they even made it to any of the feasts from there or not. Nothing's reported about that I ever read. So they were the first ones picked off from the enemy. So that's a very telling sign. We can be so complacent in where we're at in the world that we say, well, we're safe, we're comfortable, we have food, water, shelter. All our needs are being met here, just as the two and a half tribes were settled on the east side of the Jordan. They had the same idea. They had everything you needed right there. Well, they forgot one thing. Lot, when he saw the plains of Sodom, he looked at that and he said, that is a beautiful land. It'll be plenty for my cattle and my sheep. I can raise them there. And what happened? He lost everything, including his wife, because of that mistake. Had he stayed where his brother was, where Abram was at, and just separate himself a little bit away from them, who knows what would have happened to them? He may have kept his whole family intact. But as the story unfolded, he lost all his possessions. The only thing he came out with was his two daughters. You know, that's a rather telling story.
Go ahead, Yaakov.
Basically, what Kimberly did is stole up the gospel, the real gospel. The real gospel you find in Deuteronomy chapter 31 to 35. I'm going to read it. And it shall be when all these things that have come on you, the blessings and the curses which I have set before you, and when you shall come then to mind among all the nations where Jehovah your God has driven you, and God's people are living among all the nations today, in all the four corners of the earth, South Africa, South America, America, China, and shall return to Jehovah your God and shall obey his voice according to all that I command you today in this book of the law, you and your sons, with all your heart and with all your soul. Then Jehovah your God will turn your captivity, and he will have compassion on you, and he will return and gather you from all the nations where Jehovah your God has kept you. In gathering, if you are driven out into the outmost part of the heavens, Jehovah your God will gather you from there, and he will bring you from there. And Jehovah your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. And he will do you good and multiply you above your fathers. These fathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So how do we get back to this gospel? Death and resurrection of Messiah. But this is the gospel, the good news, that the promises of Abraham is not done away with by the law, which you read in Galatians 3:16.
Right. One of the things that I think people have a problem with Edom and southern Jordan is because they read in the scripture that the woman is going to a wilderness. Yet here we sit in Aqaba. And Aqaba is a city. And that doesn't pair up. It's because they don't understand that, for instance, Las Vegas is a part of the Mojave Desert. Okay, the Mojave Desert runs from, Yuma, Arizona, all the way north to Reno. But Las Vegas is a town there. And, Beatty, Nevada is a town there. And going on up to Reno, all of that is, part of the Mojave Desert. They're thinking about cities and towns and wildernesses. They're not thinking about that Ezion Geber, was a town on the edge of the Red Sea, right here in this place, but it was part of what is called the wilderness of Paran. And Mount Seir, Edom, was the capital of this whole territory. Just like Las Vegas is a town in the Mojave Desert, but Carson City governs all that area from Reno down to the south of Nevada. You see, we just need to put things into perspective so that we understand what it actually looks like. It's not two different things. It's both things. It's Aqaba in the wilderness of Paran, which was, in those days, when that was written, governed by Mount Seir, Edom. Now, since then, Edom has been destroyed. He always said, you know, you just won't leave my people alone, Esau, so I'm just going to kill you all. And he did. And he destroyed it, and it's not been, you know, inhabited as a capital city ever again.
It's a territory.
It's still an Edomite territory, though. And it will one day belong to Israel. So it's just hard for people to think, well, there you are sitting in a city. How are you in a wilderness? You only have to go about, 15 minutes, and you're out there in that wilderness. It is vast, and it is lonely desert, let me tell you.
It is beautiful.
Go ahead, Brandon.
And you will die if you go out there, basically. There ain't no water. There's no plants. There's nothing.
Ah. Yep.
How do you know we're going in? Okay, so 12 apostles, spies, 12. 10 gave a bad report, 2 gave a good report. Man-child restored in Israel. So in charismatic theology, the man-child, it's a very confusing topic that William Branham and a lot of these guys talked about. Basically, they're trying to figure out what we're talking about. They're like, all those gospel miracles need to be happening for the man-child. And so they thought that was that charismatic movement all over the world. Was that rising? Not really, but I get the idea. The idea is the man-child will restore to Israel. It's first Yeshua, him in us. As we're going to gather over here as the 12 of what? Tribes. So the men of war were the ones that had to actually die, right? Actually had to die. It wasn't the babies of war. It wasn't the camels of war. You know, it was the men that believed the other 10 and said, okay, we're not going to go. We know from historical evidence and we know from local legends from the people that live here that there were giants here. Just like the scripture says, they were very big people and there's some bones. And now we've also told these men of war that their carcasses would fall in the wilderness and there would remain. Bedouins find their carcasses quite frequently. So there's evidence of the only thing we're talking about in the dirt here out in the wilderness in the rocks that these people were killed off and then they went later. Come back around to where we're at now, Yahweh's going to bring us from Aqaba to the Petra area. And today's capital of Edom, or today's Seir, is Bozra, Bela, that little area. And today's Kadesh Barnea is Petra. And Shobak is in between the two. It's all one, basically one thing. We just took a trip a couple of months ago and drove to all these places up there, everywhere. And they're not that far apart from each other. So in this area, we get a redo of the man-child company of the 144,000, also, of the men of war. So just as there were 3,000 that died in the wilderness and 3,000 at Pentecost, you know, we had a fractal pattern, a repeat. We're going to have those same men of war here, you know, not die but live. Like, we're actually doing, it's going to reverse the process. And we're going to fight giants. We're going to have to fight nephilim. Weirdly engineered things that are not supposed to exist, kind of like the people that were here the first time that we didn't take out. We don't have a choice. We've got to wait on Yeshua, and we're going to have to be at war with these things until he gets here, but we're going to win. We have to do the deal, you know. But all the patterns are repeating, but they're going to be in a positive manner, generally speaking. Probably not a lot of loss, other than the two types of personalities.
Okay, Sherry?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I was reading Deuteronomy 28 before we got on to the study this morning. And I didn't realize how prophetic it is until I read it again, that it's all just like a picture of what's coming. And it's also like a mirror of Job. If you look at it, it's everything that happened to Job. But in 28:21, it says, Yahweh makes the plague cling to you until he's consumed you from the land which you're going to possess. And it's because this plague is clinging to us even though it's not real. You know what I mean? The plague is not the problem, but the plague is clinging to us. And then the next verse is...
Yeah.
And then the next verse is the reactions to the immunizations. Yahweh strikes you with a wasting disease, with inflammation, burning, extreme heat, the sword, the blight, mildew, and pursues you until you perish. Look at that. So something's clinging to us that doesn't even really exist. We're being chased by an enemy that's not, or we're running from an enemy that's not chasing us, which is also in the scripture. And we're running to something that is causing us horrible diseases and inflammation and the high fever and the burning pains. And look at it. There it is. And the heavens over your head are bronze, and the earth underneath you is iron, and they're putting stuff in our air, making our air unbreathable. It's all right there.
Wow. And making our soil unsuitable for growing.
Yeah, and the rain is powder and dust. It's just, it's all right there.
Well, and what that describes in verse 22 is COVID, the lung disease.
Yes,
it does. It describes COVID, but it also describes the reaction to the immunization. Even if you don't have the disease, you're going to have the reaction. Yeah. It's all there.
So we are waiting for the second part for the people that wasn't vaccinated to get the extreme burning.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, I get it. How the plague clings to you is through getting that jab.
Yes, it clings to you. And if you don't get the jab, then they're going to pursue you because you didn't get it, and it's still going to cling to you.
Another way. This is the beginning of persecution. We know that.
Yes, that's good, Jerry. Mm-hmm.
And this persecution will basically end up chasing people, Yahweh's people, to the wilderness.
Yes.
Both to survive.
You know, in this past week's Beast Watch, in that article that I read, it said there's no place, you know, like in the 1930s when the persecution started in Germany, that there was places they could go. But now there's no place for them to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that author doesn't realize that there is a place to go, but it's a place where nobody wants to go.
Right.
I often said, you know, and people who are in this room who have heard it, you can close your ears. But, you know, I didn't sit around in America going, oh, if I could just get to Aqaba, Jordan, everything would be wonderful. You know, I had my own idea of what wonderful was, and it was in the States. And then Yah said, go to Jordan. And he kept repeating that over in my head. I came. But people are not willing to come. but this is the place they're going to be driven to, because this is the land that belongs to Jacob.
Yeah.
I'm on the other side of that.
Say it again, Sherry.
I'm on the other side of that coin, because all I can think is, if I could just get to Aqaba, Jordan, I would be better.
Oh, good.
I'm all alone here. There is no one around me. There is no one in my town. There is no one that believes like me. I am alone.
Well, and I'm so sorry to hear that, but glad on the other hand, because that means you come over here to be with us.
And, yeah, I have you guys. Yes, I do. And I have Sarah, who I call all the time.
That is an indication that you're on the right path.
Yes. Amen.
Well, I will agree with that in theory, but sometimes it's an indication that you're whacked out. But you're not whacked out, you're right. And I had to learn that lesson, that sword goes both ways.
Everybody thinks you're
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not crazy, but like, there's some people believe things, and then you find yourself alone. You have to ask yourself, should I keep pitching this tent on top of this building waiting for a UFO? If you're alone, probably not.
Oh, no.
That didn't happen to me, I'm just saying. But we're here, and yeah, I get the isolation, and you're in Kansas, and there's nobody around there at all.
Oh no. I'm in a town of 17,000 people, so I'd have to go door to door to find somebody. And
where at?
Then I, Arkansas City, Kansas.
Oh, wow, you're way down there. I know some people. I know a lady and her husband in Larned.
In where?
Larned. You'd say Larned. Oh,
at least that's Kansas. Okay, I got somebody in the state.
I know them. But I just wanted to encourage you because the Jordanians want to leave here too. So you're going to get here and they're going to say, why are you coming here, mister? You know, because they would call you mister on accident. Because they didn't, why are you coming here? They don't understand us because they're all trying to leave, so.
Yeah, they all want to go to America.
We're going to be trading spaces.
Oh, you know, absolutely. They can have my space.
I want to just say one thing. There's nothing like being in the place that's His perfect will for you. Nothing like it. Now, yes, there might be trials, but anywhere you go, that can be. But be in the place where He is calling you and His perfect will for your life. It's just nothing like, you know, waiting on Yeshua. Just love it here.
Well, do you have any idea how many different states I've lived in looking for home? I mean, I look back on it now. I lived in South Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, Nebraska, Kansas, and several of them more than once. Did I say Alabama? I said Alabama. Several of them more than once trying to find home. And now I know why I can't find home because I'm not looking in the right place.
Praise y'all.
Well, let me tell you what happened to me when I came over here. And to this day, I guess it's still this way. Let me rephrase that. It is still this way. I know this is where I need to be because Yahweh did miracles to get me here after He called me. But this is not my home because Jerusalem, Israel, is my home.
Right.
But I know that I'm here because I'm in the traveling process.
Yeah,
you're on your way home. Yes.
I like the idea of starting out from my home and then just getting to where I need to be. But that never happens. You know, you always have to get in the car and go to the gas station and put gas in and stop at all the stoplights and, you know, drive down the highway and make sure you don't turn off the wrong road and just keep going until you get to your destination. Or you have to go through that airport stuff and get on the airplane and drag your stuff through the airport and whatever. It's always a process to get from one place to another. So where we are is in the transition.
Right.
We are already in the transition on our way to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So I don't know how anybody else here feels.
Yes.
I am at home here.
Yes.
You know, the Lord provides, like I'm telling you, the Lord provides for us. And so I'm comfortable here and settled here until it's time to go further out into the wilderness. But this is not my home. My home is in Jerusalem.
But you can stand on a tall building and see home.
Yes!
You can go to the top of Petra, sacrifice point, and at night you can see everything.
See, there you go.
You know, if we need to send you the eagle in the Dead Sea with the two wings, because there are places up there in the mountains.
That is awesome. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I've seen that picture. I've seen that picture of the eagle in the Dead Sea.
So I went to Donna Reserve, and I stood on a peak up there, and the guide that was with me said, if you look out there, you see that land out there, that's Israel. And I got it. I was like, that's how they come from Judea. Yeshua said, those who are in Judea flee. You know, when you see all these things. They come down the Kidron Valley, down the Dead Sea Road, across that eagle and up into the wings, which are in Jordan, in southern Jordan. And he said, oh, yeah, people regularly hike up here. You know, they come up here through these ravines. And they go back, or they'll start over here, and they'll hike down, they'll go into Israel from here. And I was like, and I was in one of the feathers of the eagle wings, you know, there at Donna Reserve. It was awesome. I loved it.
Sherry, didn't I send you those pictures?
Yes, yes, I did have
those. Yes, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yes, it's awesome, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, Sarah, we can't wait for you to get here, too.
It's getting closer. I have to tell you this. The organization that I was in 50 years ago now, that was one of the first things I learned was who Israel was, that we were Israel. And I learned the clean and unclean. And I learned the Sabbath and the holy days and all that. But I was also taught 50 years ago that the church would be taken to Petra as a place of safety. That was 50 years ago, almost 49 years ago.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Did that group teach you that Yeshua is God in the flesh, or did they deny that?
Did what now?
Did they teach you that Yeshua is the Son of Man?
Yes. The Son of God, yes. Yes. That. Yes. And that he was the rock that followed us in the wilderness, yes.
Okay,
good. Wow.
Amen.
That's rare.
Yeah. I always check for those two things because I can hardly find them together.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Well, when do you foresee being able to leave there? I know that you had some kind of surgery. Are you going to be able to leave?
I got my stitches out, Thursday. So, and I've got another procedure on my back coming up on the 13th. So I'm trying to get some things behind me. And I have a cat. It's been my baby for 13 years. I found him when he was like 2 days old, raised him on goat milk, and he's the most ungrateful cat you ever saw in your life, but I got to find a way to bring him with me.
you could come with Sherry.
Pardon?
Conceivably, you could come with Sherry.
Yes, I know. I know. I've been thinking about it.
Go walking. Please go walking and get some really awesome shoes like Keens.
Oh, I've got some good walking shoes, yeah.
You guys have hiking boots? Good shoes for that kind of stuff?
I don't. I need hiking boots.
Yeah, you're going to need gear because these safe areas are called wadis or valleys. These safe areas are they're basically canyons.
And they're mostly rock and sand, and you kind of need
some. You're going to need gear. Start thinking hiking, really long-term hiking.
Okay, make me a list because I don't even know what I don't know what I need. I can get it when I get there, though. I can have it Amazon, right?
Sherry, you can, but you have to go up to Amman and stay up there for 2 or 3 days and shop up there. You can, but the problem with that is if the Jordan government shuts down the travel between the governments, a government is similar to a state, like in the United States. And so they're thinking about shutting off travel for people who are unvaccinated, which would include you. Right. So at that point, you're stuck here in Aqaba, which does not have that kind of gear. If you can get it in the States and bring it with you, you're going to be better off.
Well, and I want to make a comment. Commercialism here is not anywhere near what we're used to in the States. Well, you just can't go run to the store and get whatever you want and in an hour come back and you got it all.
No, it's not that way.
The stuff, the durable goods up north, they're not here.
Yep, and so Michael had his surgery. We spent 5 days up there doing the surgery and running around getting gear from one store to another store to another store because they're all small stores with small inventories.
And if you don't know somebody who knows where the stores are, you're done.
I will say, if I can interject, your cat's 13 years old. If your cat passes, when you get to Jordan, they have lots of cats.
Oh, yes. I know. I've been to Jordan. I've been to Aqaba. In fact, I was there when Kimberly was there. Pardon? Oh.
When I first got here, you and Clifford were here.
Yes. And we came back because my husband, he was just starting to get sick and he wasn't happy there. And so we came back and he passed over a year ago now. So my mind and heart has turned back to Aqaba. So
awesome.
You know, Sarah, the medical care here is excellent, and the cost is exceedingly good. This is Jordan is a medical tourist, one of the top medical tourist destinations on Earth. So, you know, I mean, I get it that you want to have all your procedures done in America, but in light of the vaccine passport that's going to be coming, we have no idea how long it's going to be before people cannot travel here. And given the fact that medical care here is so inexpensive and so good, it would not be advisable, in my opinion, for anybody to stay in the States just for medical reasons.
Oh, no. But my procedure is coming up in less than two. It's on the 13th of this month.
I get it. Have you had your cat taken to a vet and got him certified and get him his shots? And you know,
he's had his shots and the rabies and all that, yes. And I think, Cheryl, didn't you tell me that the Jordanian Airlines allows you to bring a cat on board in a small carrier?
I didn't tell you that, but you can.
I think Sherry checked into it, didn't you, Sherry?
Yeah, I saw that online because I was checking about my service dog, and I saw that an animal that's something you can put in a carrier.
I don't know all of the details, but, you know, if you go online, there is a website that tells you all about it, and it may be Jordanian Airlines website.
Okay.
Yes, it is. It tells you
why you want to bring a cat to Jordan. That'll confuse them. They just won't understand why you want to bring a cat into Jordan. That may confuse them, but they'll probably let you.
Oh, the only other option is to put him to sleep, and it would just tear me up.
Yeah.
And I've thought about
We have three beautiful cats, Michael and me. They're beautiful. Well,
you can bring your cat. You can bring your dog. So, I had a beautiful puppy, two and a puppy, a dog, small. And for some reason, it clicked in my head, Gary's sister would probably love to have my dog. And when I presented it to her, she was so excited. In other words, Yahweh told me immediately who to give it to. And he's still doing just fine over 10 years. He's just beautiful. He's happy there. But you can't.
You cut out, Cheryl. I didn't hear you.
Okay. Well, we'll talk later about it, but the thing of it is, you can bring that cat.
I know it's crazy, but
understand.
Just all something right, I have to work out.
Right.
Okay, let's go on to Habakkuk, starting at verse 8 and read to verse 19. Mark, will you read from 8 through 15, and then Michelle, 16 to 19.
Okay. I want to say I like the way you pronounce Habakkuk. It's the way we do it. We thought nobody else did. So you must be right, Kimberly. Everyone else is crazy.
I'm good with Habakkuk.
Okay. Habakkuk 3:8. Did Yahweh burn against rivers? Or was your anger against the rivers, or your wrath against the sea? For you ride on horses, your chariots of salvation. You make your bow naked according to the oaths of the rods of your word, Selah. You have cut through the earth with rivers. They saw you, mountains trembled. The storm of water passed over. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their dwelling at the light of your arrows. They go, and at the shining of your gleaming spear. You march into the land in fury. You thresh nations in your anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people.
for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked to bear the foundation to the neck, Selah. How far did you want me to read, Kimberly?
I guess that would be good. And then, Michelle, you can read it, 14 to 19.
So with his own spear, you pierced his head. When his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who are in hiding, you trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, and though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He enables me to go to the heights.
Okay, thank you. Any comments? Any questions on that?
I think we've lost them.
Mark, you mute. There you go. We were getting some feedback on this end when you guys were reading. Any comments about Habakkuk?
What is he talking about? He's speaking about Joshua chapter 10, when Joshua, after they went into the land and defeated Jericho, they made peace with somebody in Gibeon. And then the king in Jerusalem decided that he doesn't like these new people call themselves Israelites coming into his land. Now he gathered all his alliance. He attacked Gibeon, and then Joshua took him out. That's a short version. You can read Joshua chapter 10 from verse 1 to get the full story of what happened there with his son standing still.
That's amazing.
See, I just learned something. That's good.
But we had a question. Will Yeshua go to Jerusalem first, or will he come to the wilderness first? And then Yahweh led me to the first mention of Jerusalem. It's Joshua chapter 10. So Joshua was attacked by the king of Jerusalem. That means when Yeshua brings his bride over the Jordan, whoever from Jerusalem is going to attack him as well. I feel sorry for him. Because his fate is already written down in history.
Yeah.
And that will be the king of the north.
And so therefore he has gone to the wilderness first.
Yes.
Because he's bringing his people over the Jordan River like Joshua did.
And he's coming to Jerusalem. So that will be the last stop.
Amen. I'll be so tired by then.
We'll be in good shape, though.
Yeah, we will.
You know, it's all just, I mean, maybe we're deep thinkers, I don't know. But when you just read all these stories on the surface, I think it's pretty self-evident. So that's got to be the Lord that opened your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so plain. It's as it was, it will be. You know, it's, oh, but in church they tell us, well, this Joshua was like Christ. How? Victory over sin and death. Okay, that's that deep level. Okay, what about that surface level? And they're like, oh, we got to go over there. Except for Sarah's church, everybody else just spiritualized it away, you know, get the deliverance ministry.
But Joshua died and his people sinned. So that's that. Really, that pattern doesn't really apply.
True. But I mean, you read it and it's like, oh, this looks like something, you know, like, I'm just not sure where we got off on the confining it to something we use for psychological lessons, you know?
Yeah, I know. You know, it's a story for children. You know why. All right. Okay, the next section is Revelation 19, starting at verse 11 to 21. Sarah, you can read 19, starting at verse 11 through 15, and then Sherry, you can read the rest starting at verse 16.
And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he sitting on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head many crowns, and he had a name written, one that no one knew except himself. And he had been clothed in a garment dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Elohim. And the armies in heaven followed him on white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, so that with it he should strike the nations, and he will shepherd them with a rod of iron, and he treads the wine presses of the wine. Can you move up a little bit? Wine of the anger of his wrath of Almighty Elohim. And he has on his garment and his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sherry, you can finish the chapter.
And I saw one angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a great voice, saying to all the birds that fly in mid-heaven, come and gather together to the supper of the great God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders and the flesh of strong ones and the flesh of horses and those sitting on them and the flesh of all, both free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies being gathered to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet doing signs before it, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who had worshipped his image. The two were thrown alive in the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were slain by the sword of him who sat on the horse, it proceeding out of his mouth, and all the birds were filled from their flesh.
Any comments or questions, Brandon?
It's my favorite passage from... go up, Douglas, scroll over, please. Yeah, so, because when I was little, when I was 3, I had a dream about getting a white horse. And I remember when I woke up, I didn't remember this dream, actually. My whole life was like, I'm like, whoa, and I woke up. And I kept thinking about Peter Pan, because I'd seen it, you know what I mean? I was like, we can fly. And I don't understand what's happening with Charlie. And I went upstairs, and I woke up, I told my grandma, I want a white horse. Oh, no, you have to grow up. And you have to become responsible. And you have to take care of it. And then I was like, I don't want to grow up. It's going to be horrible. I threw myself on the ground and was crying because then I remembered all the stuff that I saw. It's like, no, I wasn't fully aware. Thank God that I forgot it for a while. And then after Yahweh started waking me up and I went home, I met my cousin for the first time. And he was a baby the last time I saw him. His name is Joshua. He had been born as a miracle baby. And he was prophesied to be born by a pastor from Nigeria. And it actually happened to that pastor as well. He's a good pastor. He's got a lot of orphans. He takes care of hundreds. And my cousin was like, he said, I was at church when I was 12, and I know you, and all this stuff's going to happen. And we talked about it. And I was like, wow, my dream was your vision. And it ends for me, on my timeline, I'm on a white horse going up to a golden white city. And there's all these people on horses and walking, and they all have white robes on. And it's like a party is in the air, and the city is white and gold, and it's glowing, and there's confetti. And I can't describe the confetti because it's like radical. It's just like floating, and there's sparkles in the air. And there's like little kids that have these little like clear wings. I don't know what that's about. And but everybody's pretty much wearing the robes they wear here. But it's all white, and there's a big party and trumpets, and yay! You hear the roar of the crowd. But before you can even get to that part, there's all this darkness, dark skies, and Yeshua comes in just like this says. Like he splits the sky open, and he's riding on a hawk. There's angels and people on horses, and I'm on the ground, but they come. And we're out in this desert that's pink with rocks everywhere. It's pitch black, and there's been no sunshine for I don't know how long. And we're all walking in the crunchy rocks, and we're running from those Nephilim creatures and from people. The Nephilim things come from Jerusalem. We found that out. You guys heard about that. But from Chinese and other people that have come, and we're just taking them in circles. And they can't get to us because they can't see us. But we can see them. And then Yeshua shows up, and they just, they take off running, and they all start running north, and we regroup, you know. And we're going to do this. But it's exactly like this shows. I mean, that's what I saw. And I didn't ever read this. I didn't read this until I was like 21. I didn't read the Bible when I was a kid except for Samson. So... the thing that I paid attention to in part of the timeline that I saw was actually verse 19, if you wouldn't mind going down. I know these guys get tired of me telling the story maybe, but I tell it anyways because it's a time loop. And the beast was taken and with him the false prophet doing signs before it. So it is a system, but there are some people behind the system, and we do catch them because they have to be caught alive. Lucifer has to be caught alive too. I'm not allowed to kill any of these things. these particular ones. And they have to be caught alive when these two are thrown into the lake of fire. And Yeshua is killing everything else. But there's a dispatch mission to catch these guys because they're prisoners. And then Yahweh's going to execute judgment on them. This is an execution. This is prisoners of war. And the devil himself is not allowed to be executed. He has to be thrown in prison to be released later, which is that's hard to deal with when you know of all the stuff we've been through as a people because of him, you know, our planet. And we know all about these evil demons and all this stuff, but it is what it is. But I just, you know, I've read this passage over and over again to remind myself what I'm here for. You know, what am I doing? What is this coming to? Because sometimes when we're out here in the desert, it's just like, you know.
That's exactly what happens when you do. If you read Joshua chapter 10 and you go downwards, what Brandon mentioned, that's exactly what happened with the kings of the north, with the kings of Jerusalem and his allies. They ran away and hide in caves, and Joshua sent the warriors after them, and they caught the leader, they threw him back into the cave, and they killed him later.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Rick.
So to keep in mind, this is the pattern that Yahweh does quite often. There's this big army coming, and the righteous king gets before Yahweh and repents, and he's prostrated himself before God, and he says, this battle is not yours, Joshua. This is mine. And he turns around and annihilates them, and they wind up fighting themselves and destroying themselves, and all their goods and possessions are left behind. They take off in a panic because they think this huge, monstrous horde of troops are coming, and it really isn't anybody except God's people, God's army. And so he delivers them into the hands of Israel, and they get all their possessions. And it's like, and this is the same way here. They run, they're hiding, they can't fight us. They have to, because they can't see us, as you said. But they turn around, and he's there, he's fighting them, annihilating them, not really a fight. And it's like, we just, you know, we're doing a mop up. Interesting.
So in verse 20, we get a little bit, I looked at that a couple of weeks ago, and I saw something I had not seen before. That before there was a beast and a false prophet, there were people that had received the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet doing signs before it, by which he deceived, you know, he did the signs that deceived those who had, insert, already received the mark of the beast. So the process of the mark of the beast that's going on right now is a process, and it is so partly so that people will be easily deceived by the false prophet, and they will worship the beast's image. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the question has been raised in this group, can you take the mark but not worship his image? Well, I tend to think you can get vaccinated, but once you realize that you have been marked by that beast, then you need to stop and you need to repent, because that's an unintentional sin, okay? Letting yourself be marked by another system other than Yahweh's. You will pay the price, and I've said this in Beast Watch News, you will probably pay the price of death, but better that than the alternative. And so, but there will be those who take the mark and they worship the image of the beast. Go ahead.
Right.
I thought,
they take, go ahead. Okay, they take the vaccine or the that, but I think where the worship part comes in, that now they get restored back into the system.
Right.
And then part of the system, they're rejoicing, they're celebrating, they're doing worship. And it's not in a way that they think is worship, but this is pure worship. They're worshiping those who guaranteed them freedom from what the lockdowns and all that stuff is taking.
Can I answer that before you say, okay, because worship, what we think of is singing and shouting and, you know, all of this stuff that we do in church. No, we think that's worship, but the word avodah, worship in Hebrew, means your service to. They will be in the system, serving the system, and they will be serving the image, because they're not going to be able to see the United Nations except through the image that's on their TVs. Go ahead, Charles.
Yeah, as I'm seeing all this starting to piece together, it's just like starting out a year ago with COVID. It's like, oh, I see it. I get it. They can use this to accomplish so many of their purposes in which they are. Even the mark. And what they're injecting is going to change the people who take it, and they're going to be able to be controlled. And what came to my mind this morning was Project Bluebee. Uh-huh. Yeshua is coming. Pursue it to the scriptures and how Christianity knows it. They're going to project him coming on the clouds. And because of how this vaccine is going to change them, they're going to all believe it.
Well, and maybe it will be that the people that have not been vaccinated won't be able to see that.
Yes, that's a possibility. But it just struck me this morning, oh, yeah. I thought, how would people believe that? But now I see, oh, yeah, millions and millions and millions are standing in line to take this vaccine, the multiple vaccines, and it's going to change them. And they're going to believe what they are told. The great deception.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Yeshua is coming. Pursue it to the scripture that as to how people believe it, coming on the clouds.
And he will arrive in Jerusalem.
Probably so.
And go down to Temple Mount.
Yep.
Oh, get it, the fake Jesus.
Yes.
No, because he's under the clouds of the sky. Come, the wilderness of us, the glory clouds.
That's why when we go to Jerusalem, they say, yes, Yeshua is the Messiah. Because what they literally mean is salvation is Messiah. But they don't mean our Yeshua.
No,
that's right.
Something to think about, we're already in condition.
Yeah.
What about the UFOs and all the stuff that's now coming out over, well, we've already heard about all this stuff for years, but this stuff is all coming about at this time, all the UFOs, all the information being released, and the aliens and the technology that we got from the fallen angels, actually. So we're already being conditioned to receive this imagery.
Absolutely.
So when we see, or when they see this Yeshua, or whoever it is, and I think it's going to be more than just Yeshua they see. I think it's going to be the Mahdi, and I think it's going to be Yeshua, and I think that the Jews are going to see whoever they're supposed to see.
Absolutely.
Which may be the same Yeshua figure. And they're going to say, this is the Messiah. We told you he's coming, and here he is.
Yeah.
And the Kabbalah's going to be
I don't think we can fully comprehend how this these vaccines are going to internally change people. And, you know, we've heard and I've heard that 5G plays a role in it. I don't completely understand. I get the point. But, yeah. And you know what? They're concerned with the upper class, higher, you know, America and the other countries who are much higher class and all. You know, it's kind of like with the lower countries and all, they're not even vaccinating them. They're concentrating on the America, Europe, and all of that.
Yeah. Sherry?
Actually, that Project Bluebeam and the idea that they're going to show him coming and everybody is going to believe it is what led me to you guys, or it's part of it. It's part of what led me to you guys. On New Year's Eve, when they were showing fireworks go off that weren't really going off, did you see that?
No. Where was that?
In Seattle. There's a video on YouTube of a guy in Seattle, and it looks like this amazing light show and fireworks going off at the Space Needle, and he's sitting in his apartment watching it on TV, but looking at through the window at the Space Needle where nothing is happening.
Yeah,
you can see it on TV. And when I saw that, I went, that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. They're going to make Jesus come out of the clouds with this fake light show. That's what they're going to do.
And Sherry, 9/11, they show planes flying into those buildings. That was Project Bluebeam. Those were not planes. Those were missiles that were that went into those buildings.
When I was doing Beast Watch in 2010 to 2013, in that time span, I was looking at Planet X and the Mayan calendar stuff and all of that. Blue Beam was just becoming I knew about Project Blue Beam before, but it was becoming known in the public. And Obama put on a display of projecting the White House where the White House wasn't. So they did a hologram of the White House. I can't remember where they had staged this thing, but it looked real. Mm-hmm. So they have introduced this deception to people years and years ago. And like you, Sherry, I thought, you know, this is exactly how they're going to make Jesus come.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but think that everybody in the world who is looking for a Messiah of some kind, when they see that entity, they will say, oh, that's, you know, that's my guy, who whatever Messiah you believe in, it'll be your guy. And the rabbis have already announced that Temple Mount will be a place for all people to come worship. Mm-hmm. How is that? Because it's your Messiah that will be up there. One world religion, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Except believe in Yeshua, then he's not that one.
Right. If you believe in Yeshua, you're going to get killed. But if you're, you know, if you're anybody else, you know, your Messiah will be up there. Go ahead, Brandon.
I'm willing to bet it'll be fake Jesus, the church Jesus.
Oh yeah,
I did away with the law. Yes. I did away with the law.
Well, and they're going to announce that after the final redemption, and that's the final redemption, they're doing away with the feasts of Yahweh.
Yes. Yeah, they did say that, the Jews.
Yeah.
Only Purim and Hanukkah.
Only Purim and Hanukkah, yep.
So I'm not, thank you, because that makes sense. Because that English translation that he's coming in the clouds looks like he's coming from the sky. But this here says he's coming from the sky with an army and horses, not necessarily with clouds. And some people studied the Greek about clouds. That's a lower stratosphere thing. That's down here. That's not you know.
Yeah.
So, he's not going to come there because he's coming for us where we're at.
Right.
Why is he going there?
At a different point.
But he's not going there. That's not him. That's what I'm saying. As it says, he's not in the desert. He's not in an air chamber.
Right.
We know when he's going to show up.
But that, yeah, that's not him. It's false. It's fake. But most people don't have that knowledge, and they're going to believe it.
And they don't understand that when the scripture says that he comes in the clouds, they don't know that those clouds of fire and pillar, and are the pillars of fire and cloud in the wilderness. That was him.
On the ground.
On the ground. That's how he's coming, is in those, on the ground. Your feet are going to be on the ground. There's no floating up in the air. That's not what Yahweh did with the children of Israel. He didn't float them up in the air. No, he even took them below the surface of the water. Okay? He opened up the Red Sea. That thing was standing up by how many stories above their heads as they walked through on dry ground. He keeps his people's feet on the ground.
Yes, but it's all a deception. It's likened to God's, to the Father's word and his purposes, but it's all a deception.
Right. So that blue beam is probably part of the signs that the false prophet will do.
Absolutely.
Which deceives those who had already, they had received the mark.
It's going to delude their thinking so that they believe it.
Right.
And those who have not taken the mark, it doesn't delude them as the others.
Right.
And that's why they're pushing it. You see it? They're pushing it.
Right. And Netanyahu said every 6 months,
yeah,
you're going to have
a booster. Yeah.
And every 6 months, they're either making what they've put into you stronger, Or they're making what they put into you stronger and giving you other stuff in that vaccine
Absolutely.
To further make changes in you.
The second one is 5 times stronger than the first.
Well, so, and
the doctor said.
And the doctors' organizations in Norway and the U.S. that are, and, you know, Dr. Mercola and many other doctors are saying, you know, this thing will kill you mm-hmm. in anywhere between 3 and 6 months. But they think that people are going to start dying, even if people die 2 or 3 or 5 years down the road and they die young. Nobody's going to put it together with the COVID vaccine. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it's going to do.
I saw the lines here in Aqaba.
Even if there's
nothing in the vaccine that's going to change your thinking, or nothing in the vaccine that's going to affect you physically, or nothing in the vaccine, it's the fact that you keep taking them. You obey. You obey. You obey.
That's your worship
right there. Is
well,
when
that's,
you keep obeying.
Yeah. He's right. I put that in this.
Yeah,
you ought to.
Very good. She does a lot of laughing.
Yeah.
But we have a health center here in Aqaba, and I saw a long line lined up to go into this portable building, and I know it was for the vaccine.
Oh, yeah. Out there right by the street. Oh. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Wow.
And it's a long line all day, every day.
Wow.
I have a question.
Yeah.
There was at least a couple articles online that has to do with people that are not vaccinated, that they could be in danger of associating with those that have been vaccinated. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, those who are vaccinated still get the disease. So yeah, they're just right. Still as much
just
in danger.
Same.
Right. The danger is the same. It stays the same.
So Revelation 9 viruses overcome the vaccines because
wow.
All those people that they're taking these vaccines and these marks and they keep engineering those viruses like you're talking about, then those vaccines aren't going to be effective against that.
We can't forget these are not vaccines
right.
as the definition.
Right.
Right.
They're not even, but they're not even experimental vaccines. Tom Zaks got on TED Talks. He was the medical director of Moderna, and he said this is gene editing.
Mm.
And Moderna had on their website, and still do probably, that their software does an edit update to our software.
Yeah, we are a
computer. We're machines to them.
Correct. And that's our operating system.
Right.
And they're changing the operating system.
Yes. And the operating system is what Yahweh gave us. Why would anyone want to change what Yahweh gave us? Go ahead, Sherry.
I have 2 staff members at school that have taken now their second vaccine. It is Moderna. And they have both been sick since they took the second one last Wednesday. The first 3 days, they couldn't get out of bed. Since then, they've complained. One of them had to stay home one day because she was throwing up all day. The other ones complained about a foggy head, not being able to think very well. I mean, they've both been just not okay since they took it. And their family members are now getting sick.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and miscarriages among 366% since the ones that take the COVID vaccine.
Did she just say that the families of the people who got the shots are getting sick?
Uh-huh.
I was wondering.
Sherry, explain what
yes,
that
I
last
did.
Thing.
Yes, I did. None of them have been tested, but we're getting coughs, and people around them are getting that have not been vaccinated.
So the COVID vaccine gives them the disease. And then they pass that on to everybody else.
That's what it sounds like you're saying.
Wow, yeah. That's what she said.
But these 2 articles.
Yeah.
She would.
So
that's why I hate going to work. I hate going to work.
But they were saying it's dangerous to the ones that have not had the vaccine.
Right. And everyone in my, every teacher in my building is just about, has taken it and are proud of themselves.
And that's why, people are going to start taking the vaccine because they're going to realize that they're in danger of getting the disease.
Right.
If they take the vaccine, they become the givers of the disease.
Yes, they become the disease, yes.
Right, exactly. It, like you said, it clings to them.
Yes. It clings to them. Yes.
Say it again, Sherry.
I said yes.
Wow. That's good.
Like all these times.
Well, but here's the thing. Our protection is Yahweh.
No weapon formed against us will prosper. That's why y'all would say that.
That's right. And it is.
And I get up every morning and I pray that protection before I go in there.
Amen.
I pray the armor of God because I'm going into a cesspool.
Mm-hmm. Psalm 91.
Yes. Well, you see, the thing is that the weapon formed against us is designed to take out of us what they call the God gene. Mm-hmm. They want to destroy our ability to believe in God and to believe God. That's what it's all about.
Do
you think that would have something to do with the inability to receive the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
The long run, yes.
In the long run.
Well, because it's our acceptance of the Spirit that we receive.
Right, because you receive through that vaccine, you're receiving its Spirit.
Yeah. You're receiving the vaccine and not the saving Spirit.
Right.
And then that deludes you where you don't have the capability to make the choice and right. decision and to receive the Spirit and commune with the Father.
And the beast is able to save you.
Correct. And that's what you think. And that's what I was saying is when this Project Blue Beam comes about and Yeshua, the faith Yeshua, is coming on the clouds, it's like, oh, that's my salvation.
Right. And he's going to say, take the chance.
Before you board my UFO, take that shot.
I'm going
to
be incorporated.
You can get your Eucharist while you're in the UFO and take the shot at the same time.
Let's party.
Oh, my.
I got to say something.
Yeah.
Whoever said that they hate going to work, I'm not sure who that is, but you couldn't pick a better place, Father couldn't, for you to go into battle. And that strengthens you and builds up your faith. The battleground I had at Continental, it came to the point where all the supervisors and head cheeses there all knew that I was allowed to walk around and pray whenever 9/11 showed up and somebody was hurt or whatever. And I never knew that. And it was just amazing. And they would try to put things up in my cube to have the best apartment on Halloween. I said, you're not putting that crap in my He said, now, Lisa, don't start. So when it got to my cube, they ran out of bats and spiders because I got no place to pray. So I went outside and got two little twigs, and I had some sewing thread, and I put them together in a cross. I didn't know Torah at the time. And I had some red nail polish, and I put three little red drops like blood on it, and I hung it from the ceiling. And that thing stayed in my cube for 2 weeks. Nobody could go near it or touch it. It's the best stomping ground you could have to build you up, stand your ground.
Well, if it's doing nothing else, it's making me stronger. I don't think it's doing anything for them, but I said something about Yahweh the other day, and one of my staff members piped up and said, oh, I watched this show. Yahweh is a space alien.
Baby.
And it stabbed me in the heart and gave me this little twinge of what is she talking about? Do I need to? And then I had to go, seriously, did you just doubt? But
I'm going to tell you something that's weird, but check it out. It's been because you're in academia. They've already macadamia. They've already taught everybody at all these higher levels of all this garbage we call education a false dichotomy between Yahweh and Jesus. That Yahweh is evil and Jesus is good. This was done originally through Gnosticism from Jews. It doesn't come from Greeks originally. It's Jews who made up Gnosticism. It became a Greek thing. It became an origin thing. It became a church thing. It became a higher academic thing. It became part of a Bible criticism from the Germans in the 1830s. The people who gave us Nazis. It became part of the cult theophany programming. And they want to pit the Father against the Son, or Moses against Yeshua. And it's just part of what they're going to do is when the King of the South is defeated by the King of the North, so our coalitions are beat by their coalitions, they're going to say something stupid like Jesus beat Yahweh, you know, or we beat that evil Jewish God Yahweh who gave that Torah, you know, and we got this kind, loving God, this UFO Jesus or Buddha or whatever. This is the loving, loving guy, and that's what we want. They don't have any idea that Yeshua is that Yahweh, and he's not an alien. It's Jesus. He's Yahweh, and the things that he's against are the aliens. So, I mean, it's just endless confusion on this stuff. And if you get deep into Gnosticism, they talk about that, about what they perceive Yahweh to be as the creator of matter, who forgot where he's from, and he rebelled against his mother, who is Sophia, and Sophia comes from the father that nobody can know. And it just gives into this all this crap. You know, where it creates confusion when we have the simple truth in front of us of the patterns. This is like an easy video game manual in front of us. It's here. You know, we've got open notes. I heard this stuff in California all over the place. When I would talk to people and witness to people, evangelize, when I was in college, when I was administering the law school admission test in Davis, California, just different stuff. I mean, that would come up. You always mean, no, that's the Father. And he has the Son. And they're not. Well, then they're going to come back and try to rule everything like Darth Vader. You don't get it at all. It's
all right. Well, we are in need of wrapping up here because it's after 6 o'clock. And once we pray and dismiss and everybody gets out of here, then Cheryl has to drive people home. Rick and Hannah need to walk home. We lock down here at 7 o'clock, and the fine is pretty stiff for being out. Beyond that. So we need to wrap it up now. So Rick, would you end us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for allowing us to gather together and to fellowship and to learn of your word. And we thank you that we just praise your name for all that you've done for us, and we just look forward to the day of your soon appearing, that the true Messiah will come, and that you are truth and you are the light.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Well, we're glad you are all online with us, and we'll see you next Shabbat.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Love you guys. Bye bye.
This has been Kimberly Rogers Brown from the Messianic Message.com. Thank you for listening.